saved by grace alone, or do we have something to do with it? Is the Bible really clear about our involvement? Can't we just help God out a little so that we can be sure we're saved? Welcome back to Light of the Word Radio. This broadcast is sponsored by Lighthouse Baptist Church. The age-old battle between works and grace is the focus of this week's passage, and Pastor Jim unpacks a strong message about the truth of this important question. So if you have doubts about who is really responsible for your salvation, or if you know someone struggling with this truth, this is not a message to skip. So sit back, and let's hear from the light of the Word.
Galatians 4, starting in 21st verse. Tell me, you who desire to be under the law, do you not listen to the law? For it is written that Abraham had two sons, one by a slave woman and one by a free woman. But the son of the slave was born according to the flesh, while the son of the free woman was born through the promise. Now this may be interpreted allegorically. These women were two covenants. One is Mount Sinai, bearing children for slavery. She is Hagar. Now Hagar is Mount Sinai in Arabia. She corresponds to the present Jerusalem, for she is in slavery with her children. But the Jerusalem above is free, and she is our mother, for it is written, Rejoice, O barren one, who does not bear, break forth and cry aloud, you who are not in labor. For the children of the desolate one will be more than those of the one who has a husband. Now you, brothers, like Isaac, are children of the promise. But just at that time, he who was born according to the flesh persecuted him who was born according to the Spirit. So also it is now. But what does the Scripture say? Cast out the slave woman and her son, for the son of the slave woman shall not inherit with the son of the free woman. So, brothers, we are not children of the slave, but of the free woman. For freedom, Christ has set us free. Stand firm, therefore, and do not submit again to a yoke of slavery. Oh, Father, Lord, I just ask that you would speak through me in this text. Father, this is a very difficult text. This is a text that is not commonly preached. And I lift it up to you, Father, that you would speak through me, that I would not substitute my wisdom for yours, but that by your Holy Spirit, just as you say, you will put the words in our mouth in a court, O Lord, put the words in my mouth in this service, that you be honored and glorified. Father, I thank you for your grace. I thank you that your grace has cleansed me and imputed me with the righteousness of Christ, that I do not have to bow in shame, but I can boldly stand before these that you have gathered and proclaim your word. To you be all glory. Amen. It was very difficult to put this message together. If you read through this, it's kind of confusing, isn't it? It's a scripture that if you do not preach verse by verse, pulling out everything in the scripture for the whole counsel of God, you probably are not going to preach this. And there's some things in here that we need to break down and look at very closely. So as we get in here, let's just jump right in with verse 21. Tell me, you who desire to be under the law. This is back to what we've been saying all through Galatians, what this is about. It is about those who came to Christ by faith, and then somebody told them that they needed something else, and they followed. I know that when I left the Catholic Church, which definitely taught about works being needed for salvation, but when I left the Catholic Church and I first attended as a Christian Assembly of God, they told me that in order to show that I was saved, I had to speak in tongues. And since I refused to fake it, it never happened. It never came. But they told me that the tongues was not simply a evidence, but the evidence. So if I did not speak in tongues, then I must not be saved. That, my friends, is putting works to salvation. And salvation does not come by works. That's what's happening here with the circumcision. And Paul directly goes at him, tell me, you who desire to be under the law. We have so many people today in so many different denominations, including Southern Baptist, who want to add to God's word, add to what it takes to be saved, but it is by faith alone. There is a reason those soles are so important to me. It's because when we look at the soles, we see the layout of what Scripture teaches. This is what came up out of the Reformation that the church had gotten so far away from. And the average Christian today, and the average church today, does not even know what a sole is. They have no idea because they've never been taught. We are being taught things that make no sense. We're being taught that if you say this prayer, you'll be saved. You can continue to live like the devil. You can do whatever you want. You just say this prayer and you're saved. That is a lie from the pit of hell. No better, no worse than the lie that you need circumcision as well. We take that even a step further. Like the one man I saw do this. He says, I'm going to say a prayer, and if you agree with my prayer, you'll be saved. Folks, this is a lie. But this is common teaching today. It is common teaching. Why would we desire to be under the law instead of under grace? So Paul says, tell me, you who desire to be under the law, do you not listen to the law? Have you not looked to see what the law says? Because the law condemns. The law passes judgment. And that judgment is just because not one of us can live up to the law, can we? Have you lived up to the law? We can't. In fact, if you've broken one of the laws, you've broken them all, correct? So why would we want to be under the law? Why don't we understand that the law condemns us and gives us no hope since we have already transgressed? Paul in verse 22 says, for it is written that Abraham had two sons, one by a slave woman and one by a free woman. But the one of the slave was born according to the flesh, while the son of the free woman was born through the promise. So we'll go back to a little history lesson, a little Bible study here. Abraham was called, or Abram at that time, was called out of his father's country, right, by God, to go to a place that God had set aside for him. And in the midst of all that, God makes him a promise. When Abraham is 86 years old, God made him a promise that he was going to be a father. Now, at that time, Sarai was 76. Now, do we know very many 76-year-old women having babies? With all of the technology today, if a woman of age 76 was to have a child, we would be afraid for her life, wouldn't we? We would be very concerned that she would not live through it, let alone the child living through it too. But God made a promise, and Abraham believed him. But the problem came in, much like what you and I do, is when God's promise did not come through as quickly as Abraham and Sarah would like for it to, they took matters into their own hands. And by taking matters into their own hands, Sarah brought to Abraham her handservant, her maidservant, her slave girl, and asked him to have a child with her. And so he did. What was that child's name? Remember? Ishmael. Ishmael was that child's name. And so Ishmael was born. Ishmael was born out of Sarah and Abraham taking matters into their own hands instead of following after the will of God and doing what God said. God said Sarah would have a child. In fact, when he said that, remember what Sarah did? Sarah was eavesdropping and heard God tell Abraham that she was going to have a child. And what did she do? She laughed. She laughed. We would today too. That's a laughable thing to think of a woman that age having a child. What does God promise that doesn't come true? Anything? All his promises, whether they're advantageous to us or disadvantageous to us, they come true. And he promised a child through Sarah. Not through Sarah by her handmaid, but by Sarah. So Ishmael is born. He is born of the flesh because he was born of doing things the fleshly way, the worldly way, taking matters into our own hands. And make no mistake, Abraham loved his son Ishmael. Make no mistake about it. No matter what takes place, Abraham loved Ishmael. In fact, Abraham begs God at one point that Ishmael could be the child of promise. And God said no. So we go on year after year, and the promise isn't coming. Year after year, Sarah does not become pregnant. Now, at age 90, if we thought 76 was getting to be too old to have a baby, what is 90? One of the things I loved about the Bible study of Henry Blackaby's that is about experiencing God is he says in there that God does what only God can do. And that's a beautiful statement, because how else does a 90-year-old woman become pregnant? How else does she carry full term and give birth and live, both her and the child? God will do what only God can do. The other thing that Bible study teaches that I love is that God doesn't share his glory with anyone. God's glory is his and his alone. He had made a promise, and he was going to see it through. How often do you and I believe that God has done something, sent us on something, charged us with something, and we don't see the fruit happening? And so we try to take matters into our own hands. First thing we say is, I must not have understood. I must have heard it wrong. Ever said that? I must have thought God wanted something else. Then we decide, well, surely God wants what he was leading me to. So we start to devise plans and ways that we can make something happen that God has promised, because we're tired of waiting for him to do it. Or maybe we've just decided that he can't or won't. And so we go trying to forge our own way. That's the difference between Ishmael and Isaac. Verse 23, but the son of the slave was born according to the flesh, or the worldly way, while the son of the free woman was born through the promise, according to what God had said and what God had done. Now, this next little section here, I want to address this real quick. It says, now this may be interpreted allegorically. There are no allegories in God's word, okay? At best, from those who I truly trust in Scripture, they feel like this was a word that was transliterated and not translated. And it's used this way in many Bibles. If you have a New American Standard, that's what it says. If you have an ESV, that's what it says. If you have a King James, that's what it says. The NIV changed it a little bit, trying to adjust to what it really should say. But it was kind of a hard word for them to translate. So instead of translating it, because if they translate it, it kind of makes you stumble a little more here, they chose this transliteration. What it truly should say, when he talks about speaking allegorically, he is talking about speaking in an assembly. This original word is a two-part word. First part is to speak, and the second part is with an assembly or in a crowd. So this preaches is what he's saying. He's not telling you that, well, let me just read you the definition of allegory. Something that has hidden spiritual meaning that transcends the literal sense of the sacred text. This doesn't transcend the literal sense. It has taken the literal sense and using it as Scripture always does. Those things that are physical are evidences or examples of those things that are spiritual. We see that throughout the Gospels, especially in the parables. Those parables are giving us examples of something physical that is spiritual. So, having said that, these women are two covenants. One is from Mount Sinai, bearing children for slavery. She is Hagar. Now, Hagar is Mount Sinai in Arabia. She corresponds to the present Jerusalem, for she is in slavery with her children. Who is Ishmael's descendants? The Arabs. Yes. Who is Isaac's descendants? The Jews, the Israelites. They have been at odds for centuries, for millennia. They have been at odds. There has been a fighting that goes on. I'm going to drop down for a moment to verse 28. Now you, brothers, like Isaac, are children of the promise. But just as at that time, he who was born according to the flesh persecuted him who was born according to the Spirit, so also it is now. This division has gone on for 4,000 years between the two. The division of the flesh, Ishmael, his descendants, and the promise, Isaac, and his descendants. In fact, that very battle actually goes on within us, doesn't it? Don't we have that actual battle going on within us? The battle of the flesh and the spirit? How often does it come to your heart or mind something that you know you shouldn't think or do, and you have a battle that rages inside of you to do or not to do? Hopefully, more often than not, the spirit wins. But quite frankly, there are those times, no matter who it is we're talking about of us, that the flesh wins, doesn't it? Sometimes those things come flying out of our mouth that never should have been said. Sometimes those thoughts that we should have never had flood our minds. Sometimes actions that we should have never taken. So the battle between the free and the slave, the flesh and the spirit, continue even into our own bodies. So as I back up again, these women are two covenants. One is from Mount Sinai, bearing children for slavery. She is Hagar. Hagar is Mount Sinai in Arabia. She corresponds with the present Jerusalem, for she is in slavery with her children. What is the present Jerusalem? It's the worldly Jerusalem, the Jerusalem that we have right now, isn't it? The present Jerusalem. It is the Jerusalem that is of the flesh. Because in the next verse, he talks about the spiritual Jerusalem that comes from above. So we have the clear picture of the woman and the child of the flesh and the woman and the child of the spirit and how that is two covenants. And the one of the flesh is under the law. And under the law, she can only be condemned. Did I tell you this was a difficult scripture to unpack? I only pray that God is glorified in how I have unpacked it. We have the two covenants. The law and grace. Oh yeah, that word grace comes in here. Because the free is only free by grace, right? Through faith. By grace through faith. But the Jerusalem above is free, and she is our mother. Talking about Sarah. So how are we who are not Jew, who are not Israel, who are not part of Isaac's line, how are we free? By the grace of God. Because as Paul is writing this, he's writing this to mostly Gentile believers. Gentiles who he has led to Christ by faith alone. One of the things we see as I go back down into that 29th verse is this opposition. And this opposition has carried on within our own bodies, we've already discussed. It has carried on through the nations. But this opposition is also carried on through the church. Because when those who speak truth stand up and speak truth, there are always those who want to tear it down. There are always those who hate God's truth and love the lie. And we run into them every single day that we witness. When we are witnessing to people, they show us their disdain for God's word. I have people tell me, I really want to come to church. I've been wanting to, trying to get there. So the question is, why haven't you? The answer is because you haven't desired it as much as you've desired something else. So I take that and I fold that into the church. And we have people in the church. We've had people in this church that when I have used the word election, have gotten up in arms, upset. I have been told in very stern words that I will never use the word election from this pulpit. And when I come to it in the scripture, I'll just skip it. Sorry, it didn't happen. People are offended by truth. Because one of the things that man wants is he wants to be part of his own salvation. Man wants to be like God. Remember someone else who wanted to be like God and then decided he wanted to be God? Yes, Satan, that's right. Satan wanted to be God. He wanted to be like God. And we have people that call themselves Christians that are the same way. They think that they have to have some part in God's salvation or else God can't do it. Can you imagine thinking that you are powerful enough to stop God from saving you? I think about Paul's salvation. You know, Paul's the one writing this letter. When did Paul pray that God would save him? When did Paul pray that his eyes would be open? When did Paul cry out in the name of Jesus Christ? Not until God had already done his work. When God had done his work on Paul, then Paul called out in the name of Jesus Christ. But until then, Paul cursed Christ. And people will curse God's truth. Something we discuss often is there's two paths, wide and a narrow. We don't get a number for how many are on the narrow path, but we do get an idea, don't we? We are told that there are few. There is a wide and narrow gate. We are told that there are few that find it. Few that find it. Now, I don't know exactly what few is, but I know few is less than many, don't you think? In fact, I would say that few is less than half, wouldn't you think? Friends, people want an adjustment to make them feel good. God is a monolithic God, single, right? One God. But we want salvation to be synergistic. We want to take part. We feel like God can come halfway and then we'll go halfway and we'll meet him in the middle. That's not the way it works, folks. God saves according to his will. And he did so before the foundations of the world. So we have this battle that goes on. Verse 30 says, but what does Scripture say? Cast out the slave woman and her son, for the son of the slave woman shall not inherit with the son of the free woman. This sounds like hard words, doesn't it? But it's the same thing that happens to people today. They either reject the promise, the Christ, or they receive it. And those who reject it, it doesn't matter how kind they are, doesn't matter how sweet they are, doesn't matter how giving, how moral, they will be cast out. Cast out where? They go to hell. Very simple. But those of the promise, I asked the question a moment ago and then didn't answer for a reason. Those of the promise, how are we of the promise? By the grace of God, by the blood of Jesus that opened it up and brought in the Gentile. But not everyone who is Jew is saved. Romans 2 says, not all Israel is Israel. Not every Jew is a true Jew inwardly. See the difference here? See the free and the slave? Goes on to say, this is Matthew chapter 3, God is able to make these stones into children of Abraham. Or when Jesus said that they were of their father, the devil, they said that they were of Abraham. Jesus said, no, you're not of Abraham, you're your father, the devil. Even though they were Jews, there is a spiritual Israel and a physical Israel. There is a spiritual Jerusalem and a physical Jerusalem. There is children of the promise and children of the flesh. Now, Paul calls these in verse 28. He says, now you brothers, like Isaac, are children of the promise. So most of those that Paul is writing to in Galatia, he is believing that they are children who have been born again, who have been saved, but who are losing their witness because they're listening to those who would have them be under the law. Has anyone ever tried to put you under the law? Has anyone told you that you have to do A, B, C, and D if you're really saved? You know, there's a lot of A, B, C, and D's that we do because we are saved, but not to be saved. But that's not what the Judaizers were teaching them. They said, you haven't done enough. Now you have to follow the ceremonial law and be a Jew. There's a book that I read several years ago. It's called Journey in Grace. And in this book, it's about a young seminary student. And he goes out to a church and they're asking him questions. And this young seminary student had never heard this term before, but they set him down and they asked him, are you a Calvinist? And he knew the way they said that couldn't be good. He said, oh, no, I'm not. And then he got back to his dorm and he asked his roommate, what's a Calvinist? And so the book is about him going through the journey of seeking out the truth of God's word. Folks, you and I have to go through a journey, and we have to seek out the truth of God's word, don't we? When God has saved us, that is a call for us to come closer. And the way we come closer is by digging in to His Word. We can't sit back on what we already know. We have to continue to dig. I have seen a few beautiful examples of people in their 80s, 90s, who are studying God's Word daily so that they can grow. People who have been in God's Word since they were young and are still studying it so they can continue to grow and to know Him better. Folks, that's what we need to do. If we will spend our time knowing God better, then when the darkness comes, it's a lot easier to recognize it. But if we spend our time learning about the darkness, trying to determine the darkness from the light, we'll become confused in which is which. Not to mention, we will have put darkness into our minds and our hearts that can be used later. Study the truth. Study the light, because you are free. That first verse of the fifth chapter. For freedom, Christ has set us free. Stand firm, therefore, and do not submit again to a yoke of slavery. And that takes us right back to the beginning of this text. You who desire to be under the law. Do we really want to go back to slavery? Do we really want to go back to being under the law? Because under the law, we're being crushed. This is heavy stuff, folks. And sometimes we need to be serious about heavy stuff. And we need to make sure that our ears are open and that we have ears to hear, so that for freedom, we are free in Christ. And that we will stand firm. When the attacks come, when people tear down, we stand in Christ alone, and we go forward. So I ask you, have you added anything to your faith to keep God's attention, to earn God's favor, to earn God's merit? Have you added anything that has become a weight around your neck? If you have, shed it today. Please stand with me and let's pray. My Father, Lord, I thank you that you freed me. I thank you, Lord, though I didn't deserve it, that you knew I didn't deserve it, you freed me. I thank you, Lord, that you freed those brothers and sisters, both those who are in this room and those who are around the world, Lord. I thank you that you freed them, that they are not of Mount Sinai. They are not under the law, but under grace. And I ask, Father, that you show and reveal to your elect who they are, that they would rise up and follow you by faith alone. In Christ Jesus' name, amen.
The bottom of it all is so plain. We are saved by grace alone. No one gets the glory but God, and no one contributes to our salvation but God. Our works are the product of His grace, not a cause for it. No matter what anyone tells you, you cannot help God out with your salvation. Either He saves you, or you will not be saved. Whatever else you cling to must be cast out and discarded. It is false hope and will only end up being that which condemns you. The death of Jesus Christ alone, the grace of God alone, the mercy that flowed in crimson from the cross alone, this saves us. We are saved by grace through faith alone, so that no one might boast. We want to thank you for joining us today, and we would love to hear from you. If you want to hear more of Pastor Jim, you can find him on the web at www.sermonaudio.com. Just search for Lighthouse Southern Baptist Church. If you've been blessed by this message or have questions about the content or about our ministry, if you have need of counsel or guidance or want us to pray for you, please reach out to us and let us know. We can be reached in many different ways. We can be called toll-free at 800-416-9352. You can find us on the web at www.lightoftheWordRadio.com, or you can reach us by mail at Light of the Word Radio, P.O. Box 1, St. George, Kansas, 66535. When you reach out to us in any of these ways, you can also inquire about participating in the support of this ministry. If you desire to partner with us to keep this broadcast on the air, please let us know. We have a gift we would like to send you if you mention it when you call or write. This has been Light of the Word Radio, sponsored by Lighthouse Baptist Church. We want to thank you for allowing us to spend some time with you. We hope that you'll join us next time. Until then, I'm Pastor Eugene, and on behalf of all of us here at Light of the Word Radio, thanks, and may God bless you and bless the hearing of His Word.